Welcome to A Higher Branch, a source of practical and powerful information for busy people dedicated to boosting their personal health and professional performance. I'm your host, Sam McCord. Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of A Higher Branch, and what an episode it is. As we are going to air, it is the start of Mental Health Awareness Week, something that is very close to my heart. That is why this week I am joined by my good friend and A Higher Branch's faculty member, Mark Bunn, to talk all things mental health. Mark is an international speaker, leading health researcher of Ayurvedic medicine, best-selling author, and the CEO of the David Lynch Foundation, which a lot of you would know of and is a not-for-profit charity that I absolutely love. And during this episode, Mark and I do a deep dive into mental health and how COVID-19 has impacted all of us. But this is from a very different perspective that you would have heard from our previous episodes with Dr. Guy Winch, Alessandra Edwards, and Dr. Amy Silver. So during this episode, we discuss the shift away from the negative stigma associated with mental health and why now more than ever it is important to check in on those around you and how to do it. So I hope this episode provides you with the guidance you need to help navigate through these uncertain times and the strength you have been searching for. So sit back and take in every bit of advice that Mark Bunn has to offer. And Mark, welcome back to the Higher Branch podcast on what is, I think, your third or fourth appearance.
It's absolutely a joy as always, buddy. I love your good self and love the community. So always good to be here.
Now, the topic today is everything to do with mental health. We're recording it on the day on the Are You Okay Day, but by the time it actually gets released, this podcast will be published in the month of October, which is the Mental Health Awareness Month. And now I want to do a deep dive into your take on mental health and what's going on with the global consciousness and a move towards more of an enlightened world, which gives us a feeling of hope and empowerment. And so I'm really looking forward to this conversation with you. But first, I just want to get an update on your book, your second book. How's that going? When will our community expect that? Because your first book was very, very popular. Please update us.
Yeah, well, one of the benefits of COVID-19 for me has been time away from getting on planes and traveling around speaking. So it's given me the time to actually write. And I'm actually writing two more books. One is a follow-up to Ancient Wisdom for Modern Health. So it's called The Higher Wisdom. So diving in a lot sort of deeper into the ancient wisdoms of health and happiness. That was largely written already, except for one chapter. And my partner, Annie, is editing that as we speak. And that's getting close. I'd say that'll be probably early next year. We'll get that out. And then just within the last couple of months, I've written another book all around transcendence. I've actually mentioned yourself and the great Tom Sullivan in there, actually, with a link to meditation. But it goes into this idea of transcendence and how that differs from many of the other sort of mental techniques we use today for sort of self-development and, you know, all the great sort of rishis and the sages right through to the, you know, the William Jameses and the great philosophers and Plato's, what they sort of have done to maximize their mental capacity to unlock sort of this sort of high level creativity and innovation and inner peace and happiness and all that. So that'll be hopefully out even before the end of the year.
Excellent. And later on, if you can tell us a little bit about your appearance at an event in Byron Bay that's coming up. So I don't want to forget about that. As we spoke offline, I think half the world is descended on Byron Bay, all the way from Hollywood, Melbourne. And you were lucky enough to escape from the Melbourne lockdown just before the borders closed. Yeah. And we're so lucky to have you here in New South Wales. So
yeah, I just can't stop thanking my, you know, lucky stars. You know, I came up about a week before the latest spike, just for the purposes of staying with some friends out in Pitt Town, about an hour out of Sydney, to get the book writing done, to sort of get away from things, and had no idea that you know, we weren't going to go back for a few months with what's transpired. But yeah, well, my family's still down there, so many friends, and it's just really, really, really tough for so many people. So
that's really fortunate. And thanks for your time today. Now, one of the most profound things that I've heard you say is, and you use the analogy of the sun on a cloudy day, that people think the sun is not there, but the sun is in fact still shining behind those clouds. And at the moment we feel, you know, I employ, you know, close to 300 people and I mentor and talk to them regularly. So I experience firsthand this dark cloud that's descended over humanity, and especially, you know, my staff down in Victoria who are finding it really, really tough, you know, to stay mentally, for them to keep shining, you know, using your analogy that our inner essence is still below the surface. Can you tell us a little bit about your take on, you know, our spirit or our consciousness? And because I really love the way you explain it. It's hopeful and it's empowering.
Mm. Well, first thing I would say is how lucky they are to have you to be working with and to looking after them, as we'll come back around, I'm sure, in a moment, is that's obviously the key. You know, these personal connections and having people that care about us when we're going through tough times. And I guess the framework I'd like to put on it is that every single one of us, no matter what our level of what we could consider our level of consciousness or evolution, part of life is, if you can think of it, as growing pains. And so just because someone is, we can think of highly advanced or highly successful, they still have to go through a certain amount of pain or adjustment to keep evolving. It's like a baby, you know, a baby has growing pains. Going from a 12-year-old to a 13-year-old going into puberty isn't all fun and bliss. There's actually challenges physically, mentally, emotionally. But the end result is that we grow into a better, stronger, more resilient person and eventually an adult. And so the understanding is that we as individuals are part of a collective. We all sort of know this intuitively. And so collectively as a planet, this is a bit like a growing pain situation. For many decades, it's my belief that we collectively have violated what I call the fundamental laws of nature. As a human species, we're designed to live in tune with Mother Nature, to rise with the sun, you know, eat our main meals during the day when the body can digest it, to go to sleep at night when the sun descends, you know, to live as communities and to eat food that comes out of the ground, not from a laboratory. But for decades, we've been violating these principles. And so like everything, like a wise mother or a loving parent, if the child goes off course, they don't just say, keep going. They give some redirection, you know, you've got to recalibrate, put some boundaries on and even some punishment, if you like. And so this is what we're going through. It's called a phase transition, the wise yogis or the enlightened saints call it, that as individuals, we're evolving to higher states of consciousness. That's not always easy. Sometimes there's mental stress or mental demons that we have to sort of get through. It's not pleasant at the time, but if we can get through it, preferably with the support of loved ones and enlightened bosses like yourself, then the path through is easier. And that's also what I believe we're going through at the moment as a world group, a phase transition where we're getting rid of a lot of the old ways of doing things that weren't ideal and coming into a more sort of enlightened community-based world with some growing pains, obviously.
So you see it as a positive?
Absolutely as a positive. Even COVID-19, and again, I say, you know, all my family, my friends are in Melbourne at the moment. I too, and this is probably worth sharing, that over the last 3 or 4 years have probably been the toughest years of my life. Relative to others, maybe, you know, I've been okay, but I've had a really, I even remember talking to you, 12, 18 months ago, and I was talking about how I had really low energy, you remember?
I was really down
on my energy and a lot of other things I was going through too, really tough, you know, just what's, you know, my purpose in life and my health. And so, But I knew at the time that this was, it's a growing pain. It was really uncomfortable. I wasn't enjoying many facets of it, but I knew it was, in a sense, Mother Nature telling me I have to change my ways. I was living on adrenaline for 40 years, always pushing and driving and trying to do everything myself and not work in teams so much. And so now that I'm coming out of that phase, looking back, I can see that it was exactly what I needed. And so I think this is one of the principles we want to touch on for people listening today, that if you can go forward 6, 12, 18 months and look back on this time and maybe see it through the lens of, you know, what's Mother Nature or the higher power that we believe in? What's the deeper lessons here? And already we're seeing so many good things coming out of this challenging time. You know, I'm hearing reports that, you know, parents are spending 70% more time with their kids. The people are cooking at home 60 to 70% more often. They're trying to grow their own food at home more and more. They're connecting more as communities, even if it is online and in Zoom. The planet as a whole is getting a massive rest from airplane travel and pollution and all these sorts of things. So it is really tough, but it is that phase transition. In the Vedic understanding, which is my Eastern medicine training, they understand that everything operates through three principles. It's like you're flying a kite and you've got three strings. One is the force of creation and growth. In Vedic terminology, it's called Brahma. It's in scientific terms, it's that creative principle, starting something new, like a new company. Another principle is the maintenance principle, those laws of nature that help maintain something. And then the third principle is actually a destructive principle. Now, we think of destruction as something that's bad, but in Mother Nature's wisdom, the destructive principle is not bad. It's just part of the overall way of evolution. And so for us to grow into a new person, a more enlightened, loving, happier, joyful being, we have to dissolve or destroy the old part of ourselves that's blocking that. And so the three have to go together. So in a cosmic sense at the moment, and COVID-19 is like the catalyst for very much this dissolving or destroying the old ways that are going to allow us to have more of the creative and maintenance ways that come. So, and individually, of course, many people are going through exactly that at the moment. So it's not pleasant by any means, but in the long term, I'm sure we're going to look back individually and collectively and see COVID-19 as one of the best things to ever happen to our planet.
What about the person sitting at home now? So let's use Victoria as an example, who is an extrovert, loves being out and about, socializing. They get the energy from talking to others, and they're suffering like in silence. A lot of people are depressed. Suicide is on the rise in Victoria, and the media is not really reporting it. Apparently, there's been more suicides than COVID deaths in Victoria, and tragically, it's for young people. What you're saying, you know, is beautiful, because it's like a bushfire, right? That there is destruction, but then there's beautiful growth after that. So yes, it's a beautiful reset button, but how does someone get themselves out of that funk, you know, of that they can't see the sun, you know, shining within them? What they see is the dark clouds. And so how do they see through that? Because people are depressed about their individual freedoms that are taken away. I think there's a distinction here. I don't want to get political about it, but just to maybe mention it for those people who are thinking at the moment that, well, yes, COVID has made us, you know, hit the reset button, rethink, you know, how much we're driving to and from work, you know, how much we're eating out, how much we're in distraction mode. It's making us think about those things, but now it feels like it's gone too far, in the sense that it's not COVID now restricting us, it's government and governments telling us what to do. You know, And I talk to a lot of people who say, look, I don't need anyone telling me to wear a mask or to wash my hands, or if I'm outside, I'm going to be arrested. That's what's stressing people out a lot at the moment. It's this sense that it's not Mother Nature restricting you. It's, you know, powers, you know, government powers. And that's what's, you know, making people very, very stressed at the moment. It's that feeling of helplessness, that powerless. They see images on television of someone, you know, who's protesting or being dragged away, kicking and screaming. I mean, these are highly distressing images. And I've come across a lot of people in the last few weeks, especially in Victoria, people that I'm coaching who are just like really depressed, Mark, now, because of these images, I feel trapped in their own homes. It's like going to jail for a crime you didn't commit, right? So I wanted to make that comment just for those people that are listening who are thinking that way. Now, the question I want to ask you, which is not really related to this, is that how does one talk about their mental health or their stress? Let's not call it mental health. There's a stigma attached to it, you know. For me growing up, I'm in my late 50s now, and for me growing up, there was a stigma attached to having stress or anxiety. You know, they called it a mental health problem. You're often actually, you know, distanced. Ostracized. And that made matters worse. But we live in an era where you have Are You Okay Day, which is today, and we live in an era where there's more awareness. Now, my question to you, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing to talk about too much about your mental health state? Is there such a thing as wallowing too much in that? I'm a person that if I'm feeling down, I'll do something. I won't talk about it. I'll just go and work out or go for a run or get sunshine or you know, commune with nature and all those things. So about the mental health awareness, is it good and is it bad at some, you know, some levels?
Well, it's only my opinion, but I believe, like most things, it's a balance. You know, there's usually a point in between, and the point in between is actually different for different people. And that's what we often get conditioned to, that there's this one sort of panacea, that it's this perfect way of doing things. But again, when I was a kid, it's a family joke in my family that when I was up to probably 20, 22 living at home, I would say absolutely nothing. You know, my parents would go away for a week and I'd go and be playing football or whatever. And I could have the best game ever. And they'd come home and say, how'd you go? And I'd say, yeah, not bad. And that's all they'd get out of me. It was a classic. And I paid the price for that. I realize now, looking back, that I didn't communicate. And when you don't communicate, and you've spoken about this before at your events and podcasts, when we're not vulnerable, then that's the worst thing for our mental health, inverted commas. And so I learned that the hard way. But I think there is a balance. If I start to do that too much, then I feel weak and I'm just not myself, and I'd rather do something proactive. And so it's different for each one of us. And I think this is where it ties into your earlier point about the government. My earlier point, I hope, wasn't too sort of rosy and big picture, and because as we're going to speak about in a moment, I think, you know, to the point of people suiciding, and in the foundation I work with, you know, we actually hear about people suiciding because of the trauma they're going through. And it's my belief, without getting political, I believe that governments are in such a tough situation, a rock and a hard place. But the Victorian government, for example, to me, are looking at everything just through the lens of COVID cases and COVID fatalities. And that's not actually accurate. It's like speed in a car. You know, we all travel at 100 kilometres an hour on a freeway, and we have however many hundred road deaths per year. So someone could say, well, 300 people are dying a year. If we reduce the speed limit to 20 kilometres an hour, we will reduce those. And that's true. But the byproduct is all businesses would probably go out of business, and we can't, you know, the teenagers, we can't get to social functions, and it just brings the whole community to a standstill. And so COVID is a similar thing. What your point is that, yes, we can do everything possible, lock people away who are isolated and can't be social and connect if they're extroverts, for the sake of getting the cases down as low as we can. But the byproduct is that people's emotional and mental health suffers, and suicides go up, and people can't get to doctor's appointments to be diagnosed for their life threatened. You know, it goes on. So I think the flip side is that we are very slowly, hopefully, getting to government's awareness that people's emotional health, and to be able to go out, even though the COVID cases might increase to some degree, the overall benefit is that's just critical. We can't have people being, as you say, locked away and isolated and that. So that's a roundabout sort of
It's a answer, beautiful point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm glad you called that out. Now, so what's your advice for someone who is, you know, living in Victoria at the moment, especially in Melbourne, who is stuck at home, they're on a computer, on Zoom all day, you know, in meetings or on their email, and they've got this feeling of powerlessness, helplessness, like a dog on a leash, if you like. Yeah. What can they do now from a day-to-day lifestyle perspective to really part those dark clouds that cause mental health issues?
Well, my thoughts on this is that ideally the ultimate is it's not what those individuals do for themselves. It's my belief that the main reason we have these issues is because the collapse of the fabric of community and connection in our societies. Most of my research on the longest living, healthiest cultures throughout time, the two main differences are not the food they eat, the fresh water, the, you know, exercise up the mountains they do. It's their sense of community. Everything's about connection and family, and how they value aging. As they get older, they're more venerated, respected, and reversed. So my shout out to people listening, first of all, is if you have even moderate levels of, you know, mental health at the moment, you're actually doing okay, then what can you do to help someone else, lifting them up? So someone in Victoria, I do a thing every day where on my little notepad, I pick out one person that I either give a phone call to or an email to that I know is either living by themselves and they're isolated, or I know they're just going through a really tough time. And I just out of the blue, ring them or email them or text them. And so that's one, because it's that will do more for someone struggling, because we all know, don't we, when the shutters are, you know, it's dark in the room and everything's heavy and we're depressed. Mark Bunn can tell you till he's blue in the face to go outside in the morning and expose yourself to some early morning sunlight and do some exercise and meditate. And they just say, well, get stuffed, Mark Bunn. I couldn't be, you know, when we're at that level. So it's what others around them and even those that aren't close to them. It's just the random, it's the stranger, because there's no strangers. And this is what I believe the silver lining is we're going to realize from this whole COVID, that we are all connected. And so if someone in Melbourne is struggling, don't leave it up to them to get themselves out of the mire. What can we do to give them a call, send them a letter, email, anything, leave them a nice flowers on the doorstep, you know, cut them some, you know, go and do something. There was a great story I wrote in my first book about a guy in America, and he was a self-development coach. And it was exactly about this point. There was a guy, one of his clients, who was really, he was depressed, basically. And this guy, whose name was Guy, sorry to confuse it, he was trying to help him. And so rather than telling him all these things to do that, you know, we would normally think of, healthy things, he said, can you think of someone who is doing it even tougher than you in life at the moment? Someone you know in your environment that's just really, really going through a tough time. And the guy said, well, yeah, there's this lady downstairs. He was in an apartment building. He says, there's a lady downstairs and she's elderly, and always there's all this rubbish that builds up outside her apartment door. And I know she can't clean it and she's always, I'm just it breaks my heart whenever I see her. And so the guy says, I'm going to stay on the phone. What I want you to do is go downstairs and, you know, clean up outside her apartment. 15 minutes later, the guy comes back and he says he's just a completely different person, you know, because he's helped. And most of us, it's all relative. And you talk about gratitude. And again, people in Victoria, people that are working for you, so, so, so tough. But there's also people out there we know who are, you know, young kids suiciding. Can you imagine how bad life must be to even consider, let alone taking your own life? And there's always, nearly always, someone doing it even worse than we are. And so that would be my little first step suggestion. Just look around who's doing it even worse than you are and focus on trying to lift them up. And the law of karma, the law of reciprocity, Mother Nature's eternal formula is help someone else. The byproduct is you actually feel better yourself.
Wow, that was beautiful. I was expecting you to talk about sunshine and forest bathing. So that's absolutely beautiful. It's, that's
fun. Well, just on that, that's before really, the next really question, good. When I do talks, I talk about the mental health spectrum. And that at one extreme end of the spectrum are those people that are just suffering so much. They just can't help themselves. You know, they're on the limit. And the point is, it's society, it's us collectively, as families, as communities, that have to lift them up from the bottom of the well. But for 90% of people, maybe, they're somewhere else along that spectrum. And so for those that are somewhere else, even if it's sort of at the lower end, then yeah, things like early morning sunlight, number one, we know what it does to the brain, the pineal gland. It stimulates the neurochemistry of more sort of happiness and joy and positivity. Anything to do with nature, we know just getting outside near trees and plants, forest bathing, the gut microbiome. We now know that the soil, Mother Nature's earth, has its own microbiome. So when we're near a natural environment, we actually take in some of that bacteria. It's healthy and it makes us improve our own gut microbiome. Science tells us that at least 50%, sometimes up to 70 to 80% of our neurotransmitters in our brain, where do they come from? Our gut. And so, yeah, all these things are helpful if we're somewhat further along the spectrum. But yeah.
So getting back to that, you know, connecting with people who may be doing it tough, or maybe connecting with some, even if you are doing it tough yourself, connecting and helping someone who's doing it even tougher than you. Some people I know have asked me, it's awkward. They say, well, I haven't spoken to John, you know, in 6 months, but I've heard he's doing it tough, or I haven't spoken to Sally in a month. And I haven't responded to her text messages. I feel a bit awkward because I've been busy. So how do I reconnect without sounding condescending, you know, to someone who might be doing it tough? Like it can be condescending to call up, are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, if someone called me and said, are you okay? I said, bugger off, you know. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
How do you go about that conversation, Mark? How do you?
Yeah, no, it's an absolutely fantastic question. And sometimes it's, like, are you okay day? I think it has its pros and cons. But one of the pros is that it actually does create that doorway to start the conversation. You've got that excuse of, you know, are you okay day to do it. But absolutely, it's got to be done really delicately. And so sometimes I think it's maybe not the phone call. If you haven't spoken to someone for a long time, rather than going straight into that, you know, deep and meaningful phone call, it might be just a quick text or an email, sort of more broadly flavored to start the conversation. And then once that the reconnection is there, then maybe you just drill down little by little. And so it's like anything. I think, you know, people don't open up unless they value and trust the other person. And so if you haven't seen someone for 10 years, you're obviously not close friends. So you're probably not going to launch straight into that deep conversation, how you're going, other than more of a superficial level. But even on a superficial level, I think it still has its value in these times. Just the connection.
I suppose it doesn't hurt, does it?
That's right. And it's often, you know, we feel the awkwardness, but the other person, even though they might not say it, and they might think, well, I think it's all connection, you know, it's just that. That when we're connected, even if it's not at the deepest level, it's still much more powerful and beneficial than not connecting at all. You know, we
Absolutely.
Can only do our best. Yep. You know, it's that whole scenario, do our best and let the results be as they are.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And your point shows that people need people. We need, you know, to connect with each other. And, you know, one of the antidotes to being unhappy that I talk about is obviously, you know, expressing gratitude in a journal to yourself on the fly, whenever you experience something positive. But what you've raised is actually even deeper and more beautiful, because sometimes when I say to someone, hey, just sit down and express your gratitude, they're so deep in that hole that they can't think of anything to feel grateful for. So it's futile. So sometimes the best, maybe the longest path to happiness, but you bypass gratitude and go straight to giving. And I love that example you gave of Guy who said, go and help this lady clean up. So we can find happiness by giving. So yeah, the Are You Okay Day is really as much as for the person that's asking the question than the person receiving it.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the other things, while you were talking about gratitude, the other things that you do very well, and what I want to get you back on my podcast to talk about, which I think's relevant here, is journaling. So for those people that are maybe listening that finding this whole gratitude thing, as you're saying, it's just they can't get their head around it. They're so deep in the mire that they just can't think anything that they're grateful for. Then to maybe take a step back from that and just write out what they're talking about. I'm no psychologist, but from what I understand from the research and what psychologists say is that just writing out our thoughts, and they're not good thoughts. This is people writing out how bad they're feeling and how low they are and no one loves them. And you know, it's just, but at least expressing it, because what would happen in a traditional culture, you know, the indigenous cultures and the Native American cultures and all these longer living cultures, you know, at the end of a day, for example, if there was a problem in the community or one person, they would highlight it. You know, they might put it into a dance or a corroboree or a, you know, some sort of theatrical performance of it, but it would be to address that issue so it gets resolved and the person can move on. Pre-COVID, of course, the ideal is that we express those negative emotions to a loved one or someone close to us so we get it off our chest, metaphorically. In COVID, of course, we can't always do that because exactly what you pointed out, particularly in places like Victoria, we can't connect with others so much if we're living by ourselves, for example. So the less powerful way, but still powerful, is to just express it, you know, say on paper, journal it, and you've probably got even better suggestions for how people can maximize that journaling process to help process the emotional state when they can't do it in a more sort of community forum.
Now we're doing, what I love most about the wisdom that you share, Mark, is that it's not found in a bottle and a pill and a supplement and take this and do that. It's a lot more about doing stuff that lets your innate energy and your innate happiness shine through, that it's your message is that it's always there. Don't feel like if you're going through a tough time, physically or mentally or emotionally, that that's gone. It's always there. It's always there inside. And that's what I really love about your podcast, because that has that as the underlying, you know, theme, as the foundation for your message. Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about, just more generally, and I want to get a little bit spiritual here, because I'm finding that people are becoming more and more spiritual. As you've said, some of the positives of, you know, of this pandemic is that people are reconnecting not just with their family but with themselves. But there is something going on spiritually, you know, even more recently, one of my family members, and I won't say who it was, who don't want to embarrass them, but just out of the blue said, I want to read the Bible. I want to go to church. Mm. And I said, why? But I'm just curious, you know? So people are curious about the spirituality, starting to realize, hey, there's more to life than mortgages, deadlines, rushing from here to there, getting in your car, renewing your insurance. That's not life, right? Yeah. Life is not lived in that distraction mode. And people are realizing that now. And some of the people, yes, it is difficult. Like you said, journaling is good because you need to feel to heal. And you feel most of that when you're journaling, because it's a conversation with yourself and it's the hardest conversation to have. So spiritually, there is some sort of awakening happening. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because, or a lot about that, in fact, because at our first Upgrade Your Life event, you were telling me that we're on the cusp of a global consciousness, a movement, if you like. Mm. So can you tell our listeners, and for people who are listening who are hardcore corporate people, stay tuned. This isn't as airy-fairy as you would think.
Yeah, well, I've also done a couple of podcasts on this exact topic because basically, even a couple of years ago, in the Vedic, and when I say Vedic, the Vedic wisdom is, Veda means knowledge, but it doesn't mean external knowledge of sort of books and, you know, experts. It's the knowledge of the fundamental laws of nature that govern our universe. So you can't see them, you can't touch them, but we know that there's an invisible, non-physical, omnipotent intelligence that governs all of life. And so we are literally not only connected to everything, but essentially we are all one. That's the really deepest wisdom of life. And so a part of this Vedic wisdom is the wisdom of astrology, if you like. It's called Jyotish. Jyotish means light. The word Jyoti is the light. It's the light of consciousness. It's like if we're walking in the darkness, if someone hands us a lamp, we can walk the path and not get into trouble. And we can take the right path that's smoother and easier and more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And so the astrological pundits, they're called, a few years ago said that we are coming into the start of a golden age. And even Nostradamus, however many years ago, I think it predicted in about 5 years' time, 2025, was the start of a golden age for human civilization. Well, the Vedic pundits suggested that 2020, this year we're in, is actually a start of this shift. We called it earlier a phase transition from our old ways of functioning as a world. You know, economy is the basis of life. Everything's about, you know, money and materialism and all our governments, it's based on the economy of the country. Well, that's starting to implode. The law we discussed earlier of destruction, dissolving, is breaking down those economic structures. Is that a bad thing? Yes, it's bad in the short term, absolutely. But is it good potentially? Yes, because as that unravels, then it's going to give way to a more spiritually based consciousness or awareness throughout our world. And we're seeing that's what this whole podcast has been about, this shift to people in your families wanting to read the Bible or to know, what am I doing here on this planet? What's life about? And I'm hearing about it every single day, even in the corporate world. I spoke at Citibank about a month ago to all their corporate banking and investment banking division. And it was about mental health and part of some of these sort of discussions. 2 days later, they booked me for their entire bank because, you know, the messages are resonating. And so this is it. So we are moving into a more spiritual world. And is there going to be pain in that process? Absolutely. Just as children and everyone goes through growing pains, it's tough in many ways, but we're getting rid of, it's like shedding the snake's skin, but it's coming into a really, really a higher consciousness. Nearly everyone I know today meditates in some form. They mightn't do the same meditation I do or that you do, but everyone meditates. Even if they say going down the beach for a walk is their meditation? How many people do yoga? 30 years ago, when I first learned to meditate, I was an absolute wacko. I did yoga sun salutes before football training, you know, and I was did little intermittent fasting things 25 years ago when no one even knew it was called that. But today, I'm the average Joe. So, but these things like astrology and understanding the sort of these higher wisdoms, people are listening thinking, oh, this Mark Bunny's a bit wacko, astrology's it's a bit woo-woo. But I guarantee you in 10, 15, 20 years' time, it'll be everyday life because it's a science and we can use that wisdom of understanding what's coming up in our future to light up our path so we don't go down, you know, over the side of the cliff. We go the path that's more evolutionary and fun and enjoyable and grow to higher states of consciousness. And as we all do that more and more individually, then collectively, the collective consciousness of the planet rises. And as I say, everything will become much, much better in time. But yeah, pretty challenging in the short term.
What a beautiful world that sounds. Now, when you say there's pain in that process of evolving, are you just talking about economic pain and the mental anguish felt from economic pain from losing a job or you know, not being able to pay your mortgage or losing a business? There's a lot of businesses that are going bankrupt. There are police signs everywhere. Like you go in retail precincts, especially in Victoria. How can people get through that quicker or easier, unscathed? Where there's pain, you've got to obviously acknowledge it and feel it. But what can people do to accelerate their path to consciousness, to non-material happiness?
Again, two answers. One is meditation. I think one of the, again, a really good thing that'll come out of this is people, because we can't be social and outward and always filling up our lives with the next restaurant date and the next cinema and the next theater, and we're getting into things like meditation and transcendence. But again, my answer would be for those that are struggling, you know, you lose your job. Imagine you've got a family of 2, 3, 4 kids and you lose your job, or you know, someone in you're living with lose a job, or your whole business goes under. There's a limit to what those individuals can do. Again, my thought is with this transition, it's not what they can do. It's more the onus is what everyone else around them that are maybe haven't lost their job, are doing well financially, can help that. Because this is what a community is. You know, again, you think of those, you go to the third world countries. We all do it. You know, you go to Cambodia or Bali or, you know, certain European cultures, and everything's just shared. You know, there's no, this is my pizza. This is my, it's like the poorer they are, the more likely they are to share things with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I just, my heart, when you talk about people like that, my just heart, it breaks. And I think, what could I do for these people? You know, it's not what they can do. It's what those that are listening that are actually doing okay, mentally, emotionally, financially, economically, that instead of just being locked up in our own little, you know, silo, my world, I'm doing all right, stuff everyone else, you know, give them, you know, let them borrow some money. And I think the government, we criticize the government so much, but I think what they've done federally, you Amazing. Know, is yeah. absolutely unbelievable. I think it's fantastic, and they are helping people to get through this. But what can we do individually to do those things? So, yeah.
What you said reminded me of something I saw on news, a video on YouTube of what happened in Beirut. Obviously, I have a lot of relatives there, and a lot of the videos are showing it's actually people helping people. Mm. So it's people who live outside of Beirut all went into Beirut, and you know, they got their shovels and their masks, and like you said, the less people have, and the more they're helping each other, and that was like truly inspiring, absolutely inspiring. I mean, he's a country that, you know, up until February were under economic collapse, a plummeting currency. People weren't allowed to withdraw their own money from the banks. And then COVID hit in Beirut.
Yeah.
And then they went into lockdown, which destroyed the economy. And then they had this blast. And I've got relatives there that who are sleeping in apartments, you know, with no windows.
Yeah.
And luckily, it's still their summer. But I reached out to them. And I said, look, what can I do? I'll send you some money. And they said, well, yeah, money can't help us. There's nobody here to install the windows. We can't get the glass into the, you know. So it was a feeling of helplessness for an outsider. But then you look on the inside, like you said, and it's people helping people. And it's young people, you know, going and helping the elderly, clearing their homes, bringing them food. And that's just, it's just like so inspiring. So you have nothing and you're still helping someone that has even less.
Yeah. You know. And I think that's what you just talked about is essentially it, you know, it's not what money, and I think this is the lesson we're learning more and more, that we can live individually and collectively without 95% of what we think we have to have to live. But, you know, you can live out in a little community that's got some water, you got the sun, you got the earth, you can grow your own veggies. Someone grows carrots and they share the carrots with everyone living there. Someone else grows the zucchinis, and we can do that now. You know, my parents live in a little sort of apartment complex with 7 units. And exactly that, you know, when it first happened, my parents are doing quite well. You know, they're in Melbourne, but they're in their 80s, but they're doing really well. But they have people that come and knock on the door and say, how are you going? And they'll bring them some, you know, some cake that they've made. And it's those little things, I think, are just gold. You know, you just cook some food for dinner and you just go and take some and give it to the person next door or the person you know is living by themselves and maybe not feeling connected. And it just makes such a difference.
So really your overarching message for the month of October, which is Mental Health Awareness Month, is really the best charity comes from giving people not money, but your time and your energy and your company and anything you've made with your hands and your smile and your ears just to listen. And all those things are free, and anyone that's living and breathing on the planet can give those things. It doesn't cost you anything. That's just so beautiful, Mark.
Yeah. And just, you know, we're only as strong as our weakest link. It's that old analogy, whether it's in a business or whether it's in a sporting team or as a world as a whole. And so I'm not pitching anything I've discussed today at, as you say, the people that are really, really struggling. It's to maybe the others listening that are doing okay, what they can do to help lift someone else in their environment or community up in some way. And as you said, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge grand thing. It's just little everyday things that their time or attention or love. So and that's what your community does, and that's why it's always a great pleasure to join with you and chat through these things.
No, absolute pleasure, and it's the pleasure's all mine to have you on this show. But tell us, you're going up to Byron Bay to talk at an event. Can you tell us a little bit about that, or is it a little bit secret?
No, but I just wish you hadn't mentioned Byron Bay, because I'm sure most people listening, particularly those in Victoria, now cursing me even more, thinking, oh, he's going up to beautiful Byron Bay. But that was a event, sort of my phone in the background there. But, Koo and Ray, who many of your listeners will know, a great sort of business coach and entrepreneur, and he has an event, same thing. It was, you know, a once yearly event where he usually has his top sort of entrepreneurs and business mastermind group come together. But obviously with COVID, that's now a virtual event. And because I'm out of Melbourne, I'm sort of just hoboing around New South Wales. So I thought we'd go up to Byron Bay on the 22nd of September when they're having their virtual event. And rather than doing it from my wherever I am at the time in a living room or something, I'll go up and record it with Kerwin up there. So yeah, no, it should be good. But again, it's a, everything's about mental health, but for that group, obviously most of them are doing pretty well. So it's more that sort of other end of the spectrum, those sort of little refinements in terms of sort of higher end mental performance and mindset and business success. So yeah, it'd be interesting. Oh.
I'm sure they're going to get a lot out of that. I wish I could be there to listen listen to you. And yeah, as you know, Upgrade Your Life 2021 has been postponed, but we are scheduling some amazing programs that you are developing as well, some online programs, really practical, very exciting. Bianca, who's our producer, has told me a little bit about it, and she's getting very, very excited. So, for everyone that's listening, stay tuned for Mark's online courses or programs or whatever we'd like to call them. But for me, I'd like to call them life-changing lessons from a great teacher. Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast again. Namaste, brother.
Namaste, and namaste to all your dear listeners. And yeah, as I said, anyone particularly who's doing it tough at the moment, you know, heart goes out and a big cosmic virtual hug to them.
Beautiful. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Until next time, live consciously, my friends.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, if you want to stay up to date with all things A Higher Branch and with the latest information from our incredible faculty of members and contributors, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. And if you like to watch things, then head on over to our YouTube channel by the same name, A Higher Branch, and subscribe to that also. And if you want to go onto our mail list, where you will receive even more special premieres and some really special offerings, head on over to ahigherbranch.com and sign up to our mail list, where you will receive a free copy of my ebook, Guide to Greatness, but you will also be on the mail list to be the first to receive a copy of my next book, The Circle of Conscious Living, which is due out later this year. Anyway, thank you again for listening, and I hope to be with you next time.